Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
How long could we do a show just going 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? 1, 1, 2, 3.
I think we could make it pretty long. It'd be like, did you ever play Call of Duty when you were in the Black Ops, like that, and they're just reading the numbers to him?
No.
This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
1, 1, 1, 5, 7.
1, 1, 0, 1.
Is that how it goes on the game?
They're brainwashing him. You know,
number
they're
nine.
Hitting him with like binary, you know.
0, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0. Welcome in. We're brainwashing you on the Joe Gaither Show right here on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We're live at the Derry Daniels Studios, and you're here.
The cold open.
Checking us out on the Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I love a cold open. I think it's the best. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Watching us on the YouTube, Bama Central YouTube channel. Watching us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. Just kidding. You can't watch us there. You can listen to us like a traditional podcast. You know, I've been using that line for like weeks and no one picks up. You can watch us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. Trying to be like ironic.
I mean, technically, I guess Spotify, you know, they do have like a video player in there.
They do,
know,
but
his name's Joe Rogan.
It takes like so many like I could load our video through Spotify. I could, but I think it would take me 10 more years every day. So we don't do that, but we're live in the Derry Daniels Studios. If you want to watch us, you can watch us on the YouTube, Bama Central YouTube channel, Joe Gaither 6. You can watch us on the Bama Central Facebook channel, and my own Facebook channel, the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, at Twitter, at Joe Gaither 6. And we have a lot of fun here in the Derry Daniels State Farm Studios with our friend Mason Woods. You follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine, writing all things recruiting for the Walsh Writing Network. Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do on a Wednesday? I went to the doctor yesterday. I am not dying. That's good. That's good. We're not dying. But we're not living either, Mason. We're not living. What are we going to do? We got to live today on a Wednesday. We got to live. We're going to talk about what three things did I just say to you just a second ago?
We got some good stuff. You gave me, you know, obviously, tournament coming up. We got to get into BYU a little bit.
BYU has the best marketing program, best PR program in the world, because people think they're little old BYU. People think they're a little old cutesy BYU program, family oriented program, you know, religious institute, Christian organization, university, Brigham Young University. Are Mormons Christian? Do you want to have that debate? Oh, I don't want to have that debate. the answer is no. But interesting.
People do view them as this little old, you know, oh, they're scrappy little BYU. It's like they have they have more money than every team right now in the tournament at their disposal.
There's a reason the number one recruit in the entire country is going there next year.
They have the Mormon Church has more property across the country than almost anyone else does. They are extremely valuable, and a lot of that money is getting funneled directly into the university, which is fully funded by the Mormon Church. So, like, they are not little old BYU. You know, they should be where they are right now in the Sweet 16.
Okay, so people, going back to yesterday and the day before and Bama's easy path, this all ties together. You see, oh, and now you get BYU in the Sweet 16. People think BYU is still the independent school from the 90s. And yeah, even in the 90s, they were making money. Sure. But, like, they are a Big 12 school. They are playing in a Power 5 conference, a Power 4 conference.
BYU.
They're playing in the Power 4 conference. Interesting note about the coach. His name's Kevin Young, right? Kelvin or Kevin Young. I looked it up yesterday. Kelvin or Kevin Young. Okay, so that immediately springs Kevin, Kevin, right. He's like great, 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 great grandson. What's the father of BYU? Lorenzo Young?
Oh, I don't even know.
Type in Lorenzo Young. See if that see if that pops up, because that's that. I'm pretty sure that's the name that I saw yesterday when I was doing some research.
I'm seeing just immediately a lot of Joseph Smith. So yeah, I think you might be onto something.
Yeah, there. Yeah. So he is the great, great, great grandson. I saw it before I did my radio hit. I counted it on all my fingers four times. Great, 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 great grandson of Lorenzo Young. So my man's is like channeling his his super Mormon like school spirit.
Is there like you know how like the with the Pope, you have to have like lineage. Yes. Is that how the BYU does their basketball coach? Yes. You have to have lineage dating back to the founder of the university.
Mark Pope didn't have that lineage, but that's okay.
That's why he's not there anymore.
You, exactly. Well, you got to get out of here, buddy.
They said, hey, we can't do this anymore. Look, you got us where you got us. You're respectable, but we got to get somebody in here that aligns with our values.
In the family. That used to be I remember after, what was it? Lloyd Carr, not Boeschenbecker. Lloyd Carr was the Michigan coach of my youth. After Lloyd Carr retires, that used to be a thing. I guess this was 08, 9, 10, 11 or so. They hired Brady Hoke. And I can remember for weeks, maybe that's just my perception. Maybe the job search only lasted days. But it felt like weeks of Michigan's got to hire a Michigan man. Michigan's got to hire got to go find a Michigan man. And then when they got rid of Brady Hoke, same sort of, got to find a Michigan man. Jim Harbaugh, he's a Michigan man. And then Harbaugh moves on. Well,
Sherrone Moore?
Is Sherrone Moore a real Michigan man? It's like, well, he's black. Is that okay with you?
That is one of the things like a lot of people on the internet were upset about.
Is that okay with you, sir? You know, Desmond Howard went to Michigan as well. Is that okay with you?
The whole, like, we need a insert school man is such a dumb trope to me. I understand, that if a coach has, you know, also played at that school, they may have a heightened sense of pride for the school and everything. But also, like, you still have to take into account whether or not they're just a good coach in general. Now, obviously, you know, Harbaugh was a great coach. He had a lot of success there. You had some years where you didn't have a lot of success, but you got to the top of the mountain, so I guess you can't fault them. But here you are, you know, however far removed now. We'll see how this goes. It's just a weird thing, you know. Mark Pope, I guess, is doing pretty good at Kentucky this year, kind of a legacy Kentucky hire. Man. Again, you
he
know,
was on that 96 or 8 national championship.
Eight? I don't remember.
Either one.
I did love when they brought everybody out on the bus and stuff early in the season. That was cool. That being said, that man has given some extremely tough content to watch this postseason. I don't know if you've seen some of the videos. I guess it was an old video, but it made its rounds again like last week of him doing some interview and completely unprompted, which it would have made it better if someone had at least like asked him directly, you know, hey, do this. But someone asked him about some like hidden talents and he busts into a rap and it's just the worst
basketball
thing you've ever
seen. Is my favorite sport. Yeah, it's tough. I like the way it dribbles up and down the court.
Well, you know, it would be okay if it had been like an actual rap song, but he chooses to take a song from the Hamilton musical.
I know that you go ahead.
It's just, it's tough. Well, it's a tough watch. It's a tough watch.
I got a buddy who knows like every word to Hamilton.
It was cool, but you know,
did you watch Hamilton?
Yeah, me and Melissa watched it in on our on the TV when they like released it. You know, however many years ago now. As I watched it one time, and I said, "Yeah, that was neat. I don't want to watch it again."
Yeah, it was whatever it was. They put it out on TV on free TV. Yeah. I made it halfway through, and I said, "I'll watch the rest of this tomorrow." And I never did.
Not my cup of tea. I'm not a big musical person in general. You know, some of them, if they're really good, it'll get me, you know, but for the most part, not really a huge musical.
The Greatest Showman was good.
Yeah, that one was
fine. That was a good little TV, good little 2-hour movie and whatnot. Tomorrow we will incorporate this conversation in with Katie Windham and they double check and see if she's available tomorrow. Oh, she's probably not available. 2 weeks in a row, homegirl's going to be traveling. I think that, yeah, I'm pretty sure she's not. I would bet she's not going to be available tomorrow. But if she is, I will want to find out what Broadway she's going to be seeing up in New Jersey. She said, oh, I'm going to be staying in the city, and I'll commute over to Newark for work. I said,
that's
smart.
That's pretty good. Now, you know, I would probably be more interested in seeing it in person than seeing it on TV. That sounds a little more fun. You know, I could probably get down with that.
Very much. Very.
Live performance will always, you know, just kind of hit me in a certain soft spot.
Gets me right there. All right. So be what you do you want to take this? Okay, because this conversation can go right into two of the topics that we planned. We planned Coach's Hot Seat. We planned BYU. I can stitch it right into Coach's Hot Seat by saying, well, we talk about Michigan, man. Last year, all things about Alabama, man. All you guys wanted D'Amico Ryans and Dabo Swinney. All y'all wanted Dabo Swinney and D'Amico. And we could parlay it there and just go there. Or we could just stay on the basketball track in BYU and talk about how small they are. Why don't we stay there since that's the most prevalent topic?
What time are we playing? What time are they playing again?
Perfect time. 6:09. First game. Nice. The first game of the night that's tomorrow. Awesome. Which also, you guys are terrible. The tournament planning committee, you are awful. Awful, 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 awful. Because I'm going to look at his dates. 6:09, 6:39, 8:39, 9:09. All right. Last week, you got us all off work at noon, at 11, whatever. These are it's the Sweet 16 round. There's four on Thursday, there's four on Friday. Brother, ladies, gentlemen, TV executives, I'm sure you've done studies that say we need to cram these four games in from 6 to 9, and you've got obviously you've got the multiple TV channels.
I just refuse to believe that's the best way to do it.
No, it's not. Give these young men and young women, as it relates to the women's tournament, they're due. Start Alabama at 5:30. Don't overlap them by this 30-minute overlap. It ends up where I'm going to watch the Alabama game. When Alabama's over, I'm going to get 6 minutes of Maryland, Florida. And then when Maryland, Florida ends, you're going to get basically the start of Arizona Duke. Yeah, you'll get the start of that. So that'll kind of work out a little bit. But actually, you'll probably miss the start of Arizona Duke. You'll probably get in with about 14 minutes left in the first half. And then you're going to watch that whole Arizona Duke game because that's going to be a good game. And your Arkansas-Texas Tech game is going to have 6 minutes left. And so, great, you did watch parts of all four games. I don't know. I feel like it's a cheap disservice.
No, I don't like it either. It's never really I don't understand why, and you know, maybe I'm wrong. Feel free to, you know, come in here and tell me if I'm wrong. Nobody's watching network television. Why are we adjusting the scheduling of the tournament around, you know, television shows and things that no one is watching anyway? People are coming to your network to watch these basketball games, and then you get ratings for these other show when they fall asleep on their couch and the reruns start hitting for whatever terrible show you have going now, CBS. It's so annoying. I have always hated this. I just let all of the games have their own standalone window. Like, these players have, you made a great, it is a disservice to the players because they have worked so hard to get here. And then, you know, it's cool to be on TV, man. Like, give them that opportunity. It's just so lame. I don't know. It also gets on my nerves.
I haven't watched any BYU. I barely watched any Florida, any Maryland, none of Arizona, and I've seen no Texas Tech this year. So this is me covering a program, covering University of Alabama, and here we are in the Sweet 16 round, and you've got four programs that I barely have seen. Which is, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not doing my job. It is a lot of content. It's a lot of teams to watch. You get here, all eight of these teams tonight should have, or tomorrow night should have their, you know what, guys? This is Alabama. This is Mark Sears. If you've never heard of Mark Sears, he's from Muscle Shoals. He went to Ohio, Hargrave Military Academy, and returned to Alabama. Hit a great shot against Clemson. Oh, if that wasn't enough to sell you on the pageantry, here's Grant Nelson. Grant Nelson from, the cold Arctic of North Dakota. And it's like, you let CBS tell these young men's stories, and you let CBS invite us all to fall in love with all eight of these teams that are playing on Thursday night.
All that does is snowball into more and more interaction. You know, you get social media clips and things. You get your stars of the tournament, you know, from the Sweet 16 on, because we've not had any mid-major, you know, future car salesmen going off like we have in years past. But I just, yeah, no, it's a very odd, it just feels kind of counterintuitive to cram everything together as you know, in tight of a block as you can.
I mean, Sunday night was the same way. Alabama played at 5, which is great for me and you, but Alabama plays and wins. It felt like there was 10 games on Sunday night after the sun went down. And it's like, it's Sunday, folks. We're sitting, or like, we went to church like good boys and girls, and now it's noon. And yeah, you gave it. It was like one basketball game. Here's a full set. One basketball game. Here's a full set. And then
it's so strange. I don't understand it. You know, when you have 16 games to air, sure, you can have two on at once, but like, let's spread them out a little bit, folks. We don't need to cram everything into the night. That is such a, it's a bad way to watch basketball.
Yeah, it feels like you know, you're gonna get your
people talk about the quad box. I hate the quad box.
I don't like it either, because you don't end up watching any of them.
No, I can consume maybe two games at once, and like, that's pushing it.
Yeah. And people who tell you otherwise are lying.
They are lying to your face. They are doing it for show.
You get a lot of, oh, I watched the game last night.
What happened? What happened in that game? Oh, well, you know. No, you just had it on your fourth TV over there.
Right. And people end up saying, oh, I watched the game last night. This is what happened. Team X couldn't hit a 3-point shot to save their life. And then you look at it and you're like, well, they were 9 of 15. It was fine. You know, what part did you watch? Oh, just the one 3-point shot that they missed. Exactly. Like, I watched them miss 2 3-pointers and then decided that was my take. Yeah, I watched them get to the free throw line, miss 3 free throws, and decided they can't shoot free throws to save their life. I'm like, oh my God. Will you watch the entire, take the whole sample size. Take the entire sample size, please. Yeah, please.
I'm a 2-screen max. And games are on full screen on both of them. You got the sound on one, and that's your main game. Go to commercial, flip-flop, and there's your other game.
All right, we need to talk about BYU, because
they're small.
We're complaining too much. They are small. What I want to know is, do these 7-footers not play? And we can kind of figure this out together, because I go to the BYU Cougars roster, and I look at their leading rebounder, and I see that he is not big. And then I was like, okay, well, they surely got some size, don't they? Okay, maybe not 2 7-footers. That was a different team. Mihailo Boskovic is 6'10". Max Triplett is 6'9". Kandon Mbope.
I don't know. From Senegal, does not even have a class listed for him. I'm looking at stats now. I don't believe that he does not play.
Yeah, 6'9". You know what? He's probably on mission. Now that I'm thinking about this, some of these guys are probably out on mission. Because I was trying to figure out, why did these guys not play? You keep going. Kadeem Mbope, we just said him. Igor Dimonen is 6'9". Cannon Catchings is 6'9". And now here we go. Townsend Triple is 6'8". No, okay. So that's the baseline here. Go over to their statistics and that sort of jazz. They don't have anybody who's doing anything on the glass. They have Keba Keita is their leading rebounder at 7.9 on the glass. And 7.9 rebounds is a nice number. So Keba Keita is, how tall are you? 6'8", right? Isn't that what I saw yesterday? Keba Keita, I'm balancing two tabs here. Keita is, 6'8", center. So that's where I'm going to start. If I'm Nate Oates. Hello, Cliff Amore.
You want some more dunks?
Yeah. Cliff, Jaren, Grant, Aiden. Hey, boys.
Yeah, I mean, Aiden, hey, you want to get some offense, buddy? Here you go.
Who's hungry? Anybody want to eat? Because that's what this is screaming to me. And so I'm reading different real basketball experts, not myself, and they're telling me, and I think it's a low-hanging fruit comparison, but I do trust it because it's from people that I trust. I'm seeing Kentucky Light, and I'm like, oh, you're just saying that because of Mark Pope's connection. They're not the same coach, Kevin Young, different coach. But then you look at it, and it's like, oh, really good offense, soft as baby's bottom defense.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we saw with Kentucky this year?
I think we've seen what this Alabama team does to teams like that. Now,
You outscored Kentucky three times in a row.
Maybe people want to call Alabama a version of that, and I won't necessarily have any arguments to go against you. But regardless, I think if we're talking about teams with really good offenses and less than stellar defenses, Alabama's one of those. Alabama's like the best of that. Alabama's cream of the crop there.
Yeah, Alabama number four in offensive efficiency, 29 in defensive efficiency. BYU number nine in offensive efficiency. Come on, get to the back of my there. Offensive efficiency. Number nine in offensive efficiency. Number 72 in defensive efficiency. Are you the worst defense that's left in this tournament, according to Dr. Ken Pom? Yes. Dr. Ken Pom, 4, 1, 10, 12, 3, 29, Alabama, 5, Texas Tech, 37, 6, 28, 46, Kentucky, 55, Purdue, 13, Michigan, 21, Ole Miss. BYU, 72, man, is the worst defensive efficiency team by a wide margin. What's the number? I said to 72, 55, Purdue. Yeah. All right. Arkansas at 17 is the lowest rated Ken Pom team left in the dance at 36.
Is this John Calipari's best coaching job, like, of his career, to get this Arkansas team to the Sweet 16?
It's definitely up there. It's in there for sure.
I've talked some crap about him as a coach. He's impressed me a lot with what he's gotten out of that team. Off topic, but man, I did not expect to see Arkansas here.
All right.
The Cougars.
So we'll keep talking about BYU tomorrow. We'll make our prediction tomorrow. Why don't
Saunders might be a problem.
Will he?
43% three-point shooter.
That's my big, like, okay, you talk about how
Trevin Nell, both.
How can they win? It's, oh, if they just shoot the lights out.
Both of them over 42% from beyond the arc.
So Darian Reed, run them off the 3-point line, buddy.
That's what we need to see. We need more than 10 minutes from Darian Reed.
LeBaron, run them off the free throw 3-point line.
Yeah,
run them into your bigs in the inside. Let them go. Put a bunch of layups against 6'11" Cliff Amore.
We'll take that all day.
Yeah, we like that. All right, so we haven't had a voicemail in a little bit of time. 205-462-7340, extension 800. We used the voicemail line a couple of weeks for a little bit, and it's always open if you guys want to use it. Just haven't been using it as much, which is okay. But someone called, and I read some of the AI transcript, and I think that they're going to burn me a little bit. So we're going to the voicemail line, 205-462-7340, extension 800. Before we do, I want to tell you about our friends Warren Tire and Auto. They are the premier place for automotive needs in Tuscaloosa and West Alabama. They're in the third generation of family ownership. Warren Tire is the go-to place for all your automotive needs. They've got two great locations to better serve you. If you need tires, brakes, and alignment work, you can see them on 15th Street at 205-759-5505. For all your other automotive needs, you can check them out on University Boulevard. Call them the University Boulevard location at 205-758-2739. Two great locations to better serve you, get you back on the road and back into your life. Warren Tire and Auto Center, they're proud sponsor of the Joe Gaither Show, and we hope that you use them for all your automotive needs.
One more note on BYU.
BYU.
For anyone still thinking that it's little old scrappy BYU, their endowment is $3.09 billion.
B.
Over a billion more than the University of Alabama.
That's billion with a B.
Preposterous. I mean, it is not little old BYU. They should be here.
Roy, Lake Gunnerville here. Boy, I tell you, Alabama. They look good. Now, I will say it's probably one of the easier roads I've ever seen.
Shut up, Roy!
Morris, I think that's like a cigarette company. St. Mary's, and then they get to go to BYU. You know, fortunate draw for a 2-seed, but hey, they earned it. We'll take it. I expect them to roll next game into the Elite Eight, and then we'll see a test from there. So, Mason, I got a question for you, brother. You always want to hate on the mid-range jump shot. I don't know if you ever heard of these little chat apps where you can basically talk to God. You
chat apps
in and it gives you any answer in the world as if you were talking to a genie. I've heard of ChatGPT and that one by Rob Gronkowski. I think it's called Gronk or something like that. Well, I was on Gronk and I messaged it. I said, what is the record of the teams who have made more mid-range shots than their opponent in the NCAA tournament in 2025? So, granted, all they had to do was shoot more mid-range shots and make them. They could have gotten outscored by 30 from the three. They could have gotten outscored by 30 down low. The record of the teams through 50 games is 42-8. 42-8. On top of that, I said, what team has made the most mid-range jump shots in the 2025 NCAA tournament?
That's a good question.
And number one, your one seed, Houston Cougar. Your number two, your Duke Blue Devil. Who are these two teams? These are two teams that are expected to compete to win it all. So you may disrespect the mid-range, but the good teams still know it has a place in our society. To play championship basketball, you need good defense. You need a reliable mid-range shot when the threes are not falling and when the big boys have somebody to stop you down low. It's the way to get your offense from cold to warm. And there's still a place for it. And analytics through Gronk app. Thank you, Bob. Prove it. All right. Roy out. Y'all have a good day.
Go for it.
Roy, you still don't understand where we come from with this. Like, you still do not listen to what we say when we talk about the mid-range shot. The mid-range shot is good if you hit it. If you make 60%, 40%, 50% even. Like, if you make a lot of your mid-range shots, that's fine. But if you miss more of them than you make, it is pointless to take them. And Alabama is a team that would miss more of them than they make because all of their players are either good down low or they're good outside shooters. It's elementary. It is grade school. It's simple math. We take this shot, the mid-range shot. If you make over half of them, that's fine. If you miss more than half of them, you don't take it. Simple. No, I'm not trying. None of us have ever tried to say you cannot shoot a mid-range shot. You just have to be good at it. It's insane. There's a reason that people in the NBA take mid-range shots. They are good at it.
I don't want to cut you off. You're going good.
That's just
all right. So,
infuriating.
All right, here we go. For my turn, I'm going to ask Roy a question.
I don't trust the AI.
That's what I was going to go. Are we really going to? Are we really using an AI machine for real? Are we really using an AI machine for valid information right now? I mean, sure, it's going to help me write a paragraph and get me started on some ideas here and there. But I am not trusting. Show your work. Show your work, Gronkowski 3.0, Elon Musk is that. Show your work, ChatGPT. Show your work. What is a mid-range shot to the GPT guy? Is it from 5 feet away? That's not really a mid-range shot. We're talking mid-range to me is outside of the paint, right on out of the free throw line. Like, you got to be baseline extended. You're sitting there 8 to 17 feet. Yeah. Oh, what is a mid-range? Then, buddy, Roy, think about what you asked this computer question. What did he say? What's the record for teams that make more mid-range shots?
Very convoluted, the wording.
It's fine. But what are you really asking him? Who made more shots? What is basketball? What do they call? What's the little moniker they call NBA? The NBA is a make or miss league. The NBA is a make or miss league. Well, it's a make or miss league, and so and so made and so and so missed. Duh. Duh. Like, Drives me absolutely like
doesn't take into account the teams that, you know, blew them out by 30 with threes. Was like, what do you mean? What are we talking about here? This is just, like you said, it's just teams that made more shots. The team that made more shots will win. It's basketball.
All right, but he did talk about Houston and Duke.
Good, yeah.
Those and Houston and Duke are elite. They're elite basketball teams. They are. I'm going to back Mason up here. In fact, like, it's not a bad shot. It's a bad shot in college for average players. It's a bad shot for me. We're going on to the court. Let's go out, pick 9 other guys, pick 9 random folks from Tuscaloosa, and run a pickup game. It is a bad shot for all 10 of us.
If anything, pointing out that the two of the top seeds are the best from mid-range does nothing but confirm our argument.
Exactly. Exactly. Why? You take in the NBA. Why should you say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Why does Luka Doncic take the shot? Why does Kyrie Irving take the? Because they are the 1% of basketball players. And that's what I think that people don't grasp. Like, talk about, Robert Morris. There are 15. Like, what do you think a 15 seed is supposed to look like? It's a cigarette company. Okay, that's a good joke. But, like, what do you think a 15 seed is supposed to look like? They're not rolling out playing the Lakers, the Mavs, the Celtics, you know, going through the gauntlet. Like, it's just not, that's not the way the tournament works. It's never been the way the tournament works. Roy, I appreciate your effort. And your engagement, yes. deeply. Exactly. You're using the 1% of college basketball, Duke and Houston, to back up your argument when really the NATO style is about, well, Brandon Miller's not growing on trees. There's not a field full of Brandon Millers that I can go pull for them. There is a bunch of, you know, almost NBA players that I can pull from. And how do these guys play the best? Oh, layup, free throw, three-pointer.
You watch any high school basketball, any competition, AAU, you know, organized. What do you see? You see layups and threes. You see kids. You see, kids trying to be Steph Curry, and then you see Giannis Antetokounmpo down there. You see layups and threes. It's just there are so few people who are average basketball players who are able to work in the mid-range because it is such a difficult place to work from. You get contested shots more often than not. You're taking shots from weird angles. It's just, it's so inefficient if you are not very, very good at it.
And the argument. My argument, I can't even parody your accent, Roy, of where you're from. My championship teams play good defense and make in the mid. Yes! Like,
precisely.
They're the 1%. they're the 1%. They're actually making the mid-range shot at an efficient. I mean, all you got to do is pop that daggum UConn-Purdue tape from last year's Final Four where. UConn invited them to take so many middies. I wish I could have a shot chart, but like literally, it was embarrassing. Zach Edey, it was terrible. They were inviting them all over the place to take mid-range shots, and they just shot themselves out of that game. And UConn had a 10, 12 point win, something that in that final championship.
75-60 looks like.
Yeah, UConn. And you shot yourself like you couldn't hit threes. Okay. Well, you couldn't get to the rim because Klingon was there. Okay. Well, and then you couldn't hit your 17-footers either. And you lost because you weren't elite.
I am just looking at this Purdue shot chart. And
it's disgusting, isn't it? What do you see? What do you see? I'll get out of the way, drink some coffee. What do you see on this chart?
I am just looking at miss. All of them. Right outside the paint, right inside the three. It's not an efficient way to play basketball if you're not overly good at it. It's fine. If you're really, really good at it, you can take the shot. That's why Brandon Miller was allowed to take those shots when he was here. But you got to be really, really good at it to make it efficient. Otherwise,
Braden Lawyer on that team, Purdue. You had some good basketball players on that.
I mean, Purdue. He had 37 points that game.
But you literally couldn't hit Jack.
That tells you all you need to know. I mean, Zach, it was just, all right, well, let's get it to the 7'4" guy. He's the only thing. He's the only guy that can do anything because we can't hit a shot anywhere else.
I just don't think it's the place to. The mid-range is such a, oh, shoot, shot clock's running out. Got to get a shot up. There's just better. I mean, if you want to play there, Roy, fine. Your team can play there, and I'll beat your team's ass every single time. Every time. Four out of five. Eight out of ten. That's fine.
It's objectively the worst shot you can take. I mean, that's not even an argument. It is objectively speaking, like...
It's the argument from people who watch 5 minutes of basketball ever. It's the argument for people who grew up on Michael Jordan, the people who are 10 years older than I am, who grew up watching Michael Jordan, hit that Craig Elo shot, that's the greatest shot ever. It's indefensible. It's ridiculous. Tom just tried to call us. Tom, we take voicemails. I think that's Tom's first call. Our friend Tom from 100. Tom just tried to call us. We take voicemails on the show, Tom. So leave us a voicemail, and I will play your voicemail right now before the show is over.
Yeah, it's just you take 2 or 3 steps back. Oh, you could get an extra point for doing that. Or you could take 2 or 3 steps inside, and you could have, I make 40% more of these than I make them from the other spot. Yeah, sure. Give me both of those options. Why would you take the one in the middle there?
But my bottom line response is to you, Roy, I don't care what ChatGPT has to say. I need to see more work than just AI.
Yeah, I don't trust it one bit. I just to test it a week or two ago, I'd asked the ChatGPT a question about, I don't even remember what it was, but it was, I asked it about like listing certain players that had done some statistical barrier I was looking for. I don't remember what it was, but it gave me a list of like 10 players, and half of them were just made up names. They're not even real people. And I, responded, some of these aren't real players. And it responded, oh, well, this is a potentially what could have happened had players entered the league. And it's like, what are you talking about?
I'm going to need the Elias Sports Bureau. I'm going to need Stat Reference. I mean, Sports Reference to.
Yeah.
He says 42-8, and okay, that's an overwhelming number. And maybe this is just an example of my own biases coming in, but I need more. I'm going to play the political game. I don't believe your source. Your source is fake news.
Generally a pretty good rule of thumb that if a stat is that overwhelming in one direction or the other, something's not quite right.
Fake news.
Generally speaking, that's a good way to approach things.
Okay. What do we have on our sheet here? We're about 40 minutes in. We need to start wrapping this thing towards the finish line. We had on our sheet BYU. We had on our sheet the voicemail. We had on our sheet coach's hot seat. You wrote me a note. Some young man is committing. Yes. Let me tell everybody about Derek Daniel, and you can tell everybody about Jordan Edmonds. We're live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios right here off of McFarland Boulevard. You can find us just past the Tiger Rock and the Rustic Rehab on the left. You can find us right there. Call Derek and his team, 205-758-3391, for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. You need a local agent.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Agent who's going to be up on local problems, going to be able to take care of your local problems. Derek is that guy. He's lived in the Tuscaloosa area, Brookwood area, all his life. He's going to take care of all your needs. If you've got home issues, car issues, oh man, you need to make sure that you have the right insurance. So call Derek and his team, 205-758-3391.
Expecting a big time decision today. I think at 4:30 p.m. from the number one cornerback in the 2026 recruiting class, among Mr. Jordan Edmonds from Marietta, Georgia. Sprayberry High School, Marietta, Georgia. He picked up the prediction from On Three Steve Wiltfong for Alabama earlier this week. So I think most people are kind of expecting him to go towards Alabama. We will kind of see what happens. You know, I have tried to reach out to him, have not heard back. Unfortunately, it's a little tough with these top end recruits. They, they like to talk to the big boys more than they like to talk to us, but that's okay.
You will be a big boy tomorrow.
We'll get there. But anyway, five-star prospect, 6'2", 175, so a big lengthy cornerback, not quite Dejon Lee level length, but again, just a really, really good player. Let's see, I know I had some stats yesterday. Yeah, 35 tackles in 2024, 3 pass deflections, 670 yards and 4 touchdowns on offense as a wide receiver. I don't think he's really going to do many two-way things at Alabama. I think he's mostly being recruited to be a defensive back. Many of the communication and things that he shared have been with Mo Linguist and the defensive staff and things. So, but we will see. It looks like, again, sounded like he's maybe going to be committing to Alabama today. They will be adding the fourth member of the 2026 class. I imagine, being the number one overall corner in the nation. I think he's, the 27th overall player in the class. Probably will be shooting them up the recruiting boards a little bit. So probably going to see that. I think they're ranked 38th right now. Probably going to see that get up there a little bit.
I was looking at notes. Did you say from Georgia?
Yeah.
Coach K with the board can't recruit the South. He can't recruit that South.
We will see.
They're just pivoting. It's going to be can't recruit the South to can't recruit Alabama to the first time Tuscaloosa has a recruit that's worth a dang and he goes to like Alabama A&M or something. And it's like, he can't recruit Tuscaloosa.
Always gonna, that's just the nature of the beast,
Pivot. And then when he finally gets that kid, and then the next kid that's actually from Hillcrest goes to, wherever, Ole Miss.
He can't recruit Hillcrest.
He'll win a national title and they'll say he can't go back to back.
Yeah, exactly. he can't recruit, Central. The real elite coaches. Coach Nick Saban, he got Lester Cotton from Central High School. And if you're not getting anybody from Central High School, then you're not really a championship elite coach. If you're not getting somebody from Central High School while wearing a polo and having your shirt tucked in.
Interesting, just worth noting, he does still have visits lined up this summer with Florida, Tennessee, and Georgia, who are in his top schools that he listed. So I don't know, if this decision today, whether or not he will be canceling those visits. Maybe I'll hear back from him and maybe we can, get some clarification there one way or the other. If he does pick Alabama, potentially he there's still a bit of competition there this summer.
Well, Roll Tide, best of luck with your decision today. Maybe I'll send you the link to our Luke Metz interview last year, and that might help you, legitimize. Hey! Because Luke was great.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I asked him any terrible questions, any weird questions. I mean, of course, what's your favorite food? That sort of thing. try to get inside the mind of the athlete. But we'll have you send on. And what we'll do, you said we've got somebody, one or two, kind of on the hook. So what I wanted to do, I'm saying this on the air so that we're all pressured to do it. What I'd like to do is just, you set it up with them, and then you tell me, hey, Billy, 4:00 Monday. You good with that? And I'll say, yeah. And if I'm not good with it, I'll be good with it. I'll make it good with it, whatever. So you just keep tracking those with those fellows, and you can set us up some times, and then we'll pry them in the mornings. So really, whatever you set up with them, I'll follow you.
All right, let's move, try to make it work.
Okay. Well, here we go on a Wednesday. We're live at the Derry Daniels State Farm Studios. We're looking forward to a big-time commitment today from Jordan Edmonds. And you can find that on BamaCentral.com, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. You can find that Mason Woods, M.A. Woods, _. Going to be chasing that. Follow Mason Woods for all of the great recruiting coverage right there. So let's wrap it up with the bald man from North Carolina. The bald man from North Carolina, who is all of our heroes in the radio industry. We love you, Paul Feinbaum. Sort of, somewhat. I mean,
It's a love-hate relationship.
Exactly. Like, in my core, I do love you, Paul, and you were, extremely nice to me at SEC Media Days for 5 minutes in Dallas this past year, and I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Do I always love your program? No, but that's the radio industry. Not everybody loves all programming either, so it's fine. It's totally fine. Paul Feinbaum, was this yesterday or the day before? Doesn't matter. Man, just says, like
yesterday.
Who's the coach on the biggest hot seat? Who's the not hot seat, with the most pressure? That was the word. Who has the most pressure? Who's under pressure? Mm-hmm. And says that Kalen DeBoer is under the most pressure. And basically absolves Hugh Freeze of all pressure is what it sounded like, what it seems like. So Mason Woods, am I perceiving that correctly? Yeah. Kalen DeBoer is under the most pressure, according to Paul Feinbaum of 1ESPN. And Hugh Freeze has very little pressure.
Yeah, it's what it seems like. And, you know, just to, I don't know if you, I didn't. I don't know
under said, pressure.
He was asked, it sounds like specifically, you know, putting Kalen DeBoer and Hugh Freeze as like, between these two, which one is under more pressure? It wasn't just, in the grand scheme of college football, Kalen DeBoer's under the most pressure in the nation. So, you know, that takes a little bit of weight off it. But still, I've got the quote here. Paul Feinbaum says, I think in some ways it's really Kalen DeBoer. Hugh Freeze is still very well liked by his constituency. He has people believing in him in spite of a fairly underwhelming 2 years. Paul, now you know a lot
Paul.
More people. You know a lot more Auburn people.
Call
than I do.
Paul.
You know people probably you've got connections with, you know, various people that are in higher places than I do, I'm sure. I do not believe this for 1 second that his constituents that Hugh Freeze is still very well liked among his constituents. I know a handful of Auburn fans. They all hate Hugh Freeze. Now, they're not big boy donors to the university or anything like that. They don't know him personally. But I do not think that the Auburn family loves Hugh Freeze very much right now. I think they are right on the brink of being tired of this. The only reason he's not been fired yet is because they would have to pay him a Brinks truck worth of money.
Oh, shoot, Mason. We need to put a pin on this because we got some actual news. You ready for some 8A news?
Uh-oh.
We have the 8A format now.
Oh.
This is just news, so we'll get right back to the Kalen DeBoer topic here. From the University of Alabama, Athletics Communications. Womp, 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 womp. Yep. The Alabama football's annual Golden Flake 8A is scheduled for noon, Saturday, April 12th. Still, same time. At Bryant-Denny Stadium, fans, welcome to take part in numerous events throughout the day. Admission will be free. Free public parking. Da, 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 da. Gates at Saban Field open at 11 a.m. Da, 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 da. Clear bag policy in effect. Yes, yes, yes. We don't care. First 5,000 fans received a limited edition poster. Great. Prior to the 8A, Alabama will host its annual Tide Pride Breakfast at Coleman. Kalen DeBoer and AD Greg Byrne will speak. I'm sure you can purchase your tickets through Tide Pride. We don't care about any of this stuff. Get down to it. Here we go. Walk of Fame will begin at 10. We're featuring captains Tyler Booker, Dante Lawson, Jalen Milroe, Malachi Moore getting their handprints, all that jazz. The Tide will take part in an hour and a half practice beginning at 12. Following the 8A workout, Yay Alabama members will be granted exclusive access to an on-field autograph session with the Crimson Tide players and coaching staff. Those can sign up here. Parties who have not yet joined Yay Alabama can sign up here. That's basically it. No game, practice. Hour and a half practice. Autograph session after
Alabama members.
For Yay Alabama members.
Which, good on you, Yay Alabama.
Yes, that's what you should be doing. I mean, that's a perfect thing. I don't give one rip about this.
No, but I'm interested to see the distinction between workout and practice, because I feel like those are two different things. I feel like, you know, if it's going to be a practice, maybe we'll see at least a sliver of real football.
Yeah, the wording is, the Crimson Tide will then take part in an hour and a half practice beginning at 12 p.m.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we get to see, you know, at minimum, some not full speed, but team-on-team things. I doubt you'll see much of it. I think a lot of it will probably be, all right, here's your quarterbacks lining up, throwing deep balls to guys running down the sideline. Oh, here's your defense dropping back, catching, you know, high pointing the ball and things like that. But you may get a small team period. I don't think you're going to get anything
plays,
full speed.
Less about 30 plays.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they're just out there in shells, honestly. You know,
that would be
shorts.
I think they'll be in full pads. I do think they'll be in full pads. But this not surprise me one bit. This seems like a spring version of Alabama Fan Day that happens in the fall, mm-hmm. where they just go out and have a very basic practice and also an autograph session. Seems like a carbon copy, which great.
Yeah, I think good. Like we said, good on you, Alabama, for the autograph thing. I think that's exactly what you should be doing with this kind of event. Make it an exclusive thing for people that want to donate, and they can come get their autographs.
You can still come watch free football on April 12th, that's awesome. and that's basically the bottom line.
That's what I like to hear.
Nothing's changed, and that's it. Maybe they won't play as long. Maybe they won't, but they won't keep as much score.
That's probably better for anybody bringing small kids and things. Like, you're bringing a small kid, they're not going to really know the difference in whether or not this is real football or not anyway. So, hey, if you only got to sit there for an hour with a whiny kid that's baking in the sun, that's awesome.
All right, so we'll keep up with that. April 12th, A-Day special practice. No more game, no game. Will there still be an A-Day MVP? There's got to be. We got to give a practice MVP. And you know what we're going to do? This year's 2025 spring practice MVP, Ty Simpson, is co-MVPs. Ty Simpson, Austin Mack, and Keelan Russell have all won co-MVP. Congratulations, quarterbacks. Well done, gentlemen. Boom, boom, boom. Three plaques for all of you. Everybody claps.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. Everything close.
So, Coach, who's winning the battle? Well, all three of them.
They've been all just so impressive, all three. You look at the way they all command the offense. It's just so impressive.
Zabian Brown, they tried to get him yesterday over at the Malmo Athletic Facility. Joe Goodman, AL.com, goes, which one of the quarterbacks has been toughest to read? And Zabian just, well, they've all been pretty good. They're all really, 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 really talented. All the quarterbacks have been having really strong connections with their wide receivers, have been really tough to go against.
It's a good question. Almost had him.
Yeah. Which one's been the toughest to read from a cornerback's perspective?
Well,
and then he backed it. That Alabama PR training, it is baked in.
It's good. We talked about getting brainwashed, yep, right at the beginning of the show. They strap them. It's like Clockwork Orange when you get to campus.
Lasers and lights right into the every player. All my teammates are good. I love our coaches. Everyone's working hard. Mm-hmm. Competition is who we are. Alabama standard.
Chair and play Gatorade commercials in front of them.
High tide.
Man.
All right. So Paul Feinbaum. Paul says that Kalen's got a lot of pressure, which is, I think, is fair. Okay,
sure.
But you're not. These Auburn folks are, unless they just look at their wallet and say, "Hey, man, we're out of money. We can't fire him and hire somebody else," which is not the case. Yeah. I mean, if that's the case, then I'm a fool. I don't agree with you, but Paul Feinbaum on the Hugh Freeze thing. I think that the Auburn Tigers want to get a win over Alabama real bad, and
I think
are wanting to take a step forward.
Yeah, I think Hugh Freeze's seat is pretty warm heading into this season. Now you get another year like last year, you might be catching the boot on your way out.
So, Kalen, what? Let's make it a definable thing. Mm-hmm. If Kalen's under pressure, and I agree, what keeps him? What does he have to do? What does he have to achieve? What does he have to do to maybe relieve some of the pressure? Is it as simple as just make the college football playoff? Is it as simple as, hey, man, don't lose to Tennessee. Don't lose to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, to bad teams like Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. What does the 2025 goal have to be to relieve pressure?
I think it's got to be get to the playoff and win a game in the playoff. Ooh, or ooh, ooh. Or pick up one of those buys and basically be not out in the first round of the playoff, because I think just making the playoff has lost a little bit of its luster now with the expansion. But if you can get there and prove yourself as one of the better teams in college football, I think the fans will be pretty happy there, because with any tournament,
the fans won't be, but Greg will be.
Sure.
Greg will be
fine.
Fans
will never be happy.
The
good fans will be happy.
This is about because I think the pressure is actually a little bit real from the administration. Not that they're going to fire him, but pressure to, hey, bud, 9-4,
not horrible. But not
don't
horrible.
Do that again.
But we got to go at least 10-3 next year. Like, good start. That's okay. That's all right. We know what you were dealing with. Yeah, we saw it all.
He grabbed him on his shoulders, like, hey, it's okay. But he squeezed him real hard with his hand.
Hey. Know? Just gotta
don't do it again.
Next step has to be, we gotta take the next step though. We knew what you were dealing with. We knew all the BS, all the hooey you had to deal with. 9-4, not horrible, but pat on the butt.
We ain't pay you all that money for 9-4.
Exactly. And so I do think the pressure is actually real from the administration.
I think
Jimmy from Gordo is never gonna get the coach fired. He can cry into his Twitter account all he wants to, or call the radio shows all he wants to, but they're never gonna listen to Jimmy from Gordo to fire the coach.
Very true.
It's all about how can he really. I think just getting to the playoffs is good enough for Greg.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because you're gonna have to have some marquee wins along the way.
Sure, you certainly will. You know, you'll have to beat good teams to get there to get a playoff spot. I just think that get that one win there that really does it, really, puts you over. It's not just like sure they made it, but you win a game, it's like, okay, they deserve to be there.
All right, so we'll take your voicemails on Kalen DeBoer's pressure meter. What does he have to do for you to relieve the pressure? 205-462-7340, extension 800. We'll take your voicemails on Alabama BYU tomorrow. What's your prediction? Are you feeling good about it? We'll take your voicemails on really anything you like. You can call us at 205-462-7340, extension 800. I don't think Tom actually left a voicemail. Yeah, he did not. Tom didn't leave a voicemail because he's still getting used to it. That's a little bit different. We understand. We'll take your voicemails tomorrow. We'll talk about Alabama and BYU tomorrow. We will get you ready for the weekend. Oh, my gosh, it's almost already here. Tomorrow's Thursday. Today is Wednesday. You're going to have a great Wednesday. We thank Derek Daniel. We thank Warren Tyronato. I thank Mason Woods a whole lot for helping me out here. And you guys for listening, subscribing, rating, reviewing, and sharing the show, The Joe Gaither Show, on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.